Jesus, the Son of God, hung on a cross to die.
Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are holy and mighty and wonderful, the only true God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who became a man and died on the cross for our sins, the name above every name. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We thank you for what you've done. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the God of gods, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Lord, you are our Messiah, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Healer, and our soon-coming King. And we worship you today in this place. We exalt you, and we thank you. We thank you for all that you are doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Somebody praise Jesus. All right. Hallelujah. Well, all right, we have a little something different this morning. Some of you were here, some of you weren't, but we have some young ladies that are going to sing a little Christmas song for us this morning before we get into the Word. So you're going to get some good news before you, Pastor Dean, is up here and gives you the bad news. So enjoy it for a moment. But come on, young ladies.
how the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Good job, good job.
All right, that was awesome. Okay. I thought it was the other type of mic, but yeah, there's no off on here. Okay. I was going to click it off. All right. Well, awesome. Thank you, ladies. All right. Y'all ready to get in the Word a little bit? All right. Well, I want you to go with me to Daniel chapter 7. Really, I believe this is just a bit of a continuation from last week, because there were a lot of things in last week's message that I just kind of mentioned and we didn't turn to. But since I have people out there that are deceived by all kinds of nonsense, I have to address these things more thoroughly. I think we all know the world is racing toward everything the Bible foretold, right? I think if we ever saw it, in fact, I want to put up this, if you guys can put that website up that I sent you, and we're going to kind of just scroll down through it. You know, last week I talked about the mark of the beast, the prophecy in the Bible, and you just hold it right there for a second. But the prophecy in the Bible that's been there 2,000 years, Revelation chapter 13, the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus appeared to him, caught him up into heaven, and spoke to him, said, I'm going to show you things that are and things that are going to come in the future. And that was around AD 95, AD 96, when he was exiled. And, of course, the Roman emperor died, and then John was released, and he went back to the city of Ephesus and pastored the church of Ephesus for a season. After that, as a very old man, but he was shown then, and I've told y'all, he said that the day would come in the end that we would have both a beast, Antichrist, world government system, and we would also have a man that would rise up and lead that. Now, what's blowing my mind is that this is so clear in the scriptures, and yet there are Christians that come on my social media and they tell me, oh, no, there's not going to be a man that's an Antichrist or a world leader that, you know, like that. It's not going to happen. It's just a spiritual thing. It's just the spirit of Antichrist, or it's just, you know, it's just this, it's just an allegory of thing of good against evil. But the Bible is very specific, and again, the reason I'm going to continue to pound these things is because it is upon us. But what I was talking about last week, the mark of the beast, Revelation 13 is very clear. He said that these beasts, the world government system and the man who will lead them, is going to cause everyone, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark in their right hand or forehead, so that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number. And then he says, here's wisdom. The number of the beast is 666. Now, this is given to us as a warning because Revelation 14 says, if any man take the mark of the beast or worship his name or his image, the same will take part and have his part in the fire, lake of fire and brimstone. And the smoke of his torment will go up day and night forever. This is a serious matter. And I've been preaching about it for 34 years. And here it is. All right. And I said last week, and I still stand by this, I don't believe that the vaccine by itself is the mark of the beast. But the mandate, and I showed you last week how that they are already pushing for a microchip implant as your vaccine passport to prove that you're vaccinated or you're up to date on your boosters, because they can't have the security that they want with paper or phone passports. So the next move, and you're going to watch it develop, it's already being pushed in Sweden and Europe and in other places, but you're going to see it being pushed to the world. And once it's mandated worldwide, I don't care if you believe it or you don't want to believe it, but once people tell you, unless you get this thing in your hand or your body implanted or you can't buy and sell, it's the mark of the beast. Because if we're going to go by the Bible, that's what the Bible says. And never before in the history of mankind has there ever been something mandated on the entire world to be put in your body to control your buying and selling. And never before in the history of mankind has the technology been present to actually accomplish that task. But everything is now in place, and they are pushing very hard for this. Okay? I want you to see this. This is mainstream media here. This is Reuters, all right? This is not any alternative, conspiracy theorist website that everybody tries to say. This is Factbox. Countries making COVID-19 vaccines mandatory. So let's just scroll a little bit. First of all, right here. Governments have been making COVID-19 shots mandatory for health workers and other high-risk groups, pushed by a sharp upturn in infections caused by the Delta variant, and a slowdown in vaccinations as well as the new Omicron variant. A growing number of countries are also making the shots compulsory for public servants and other workers. Here are some countries' vaccine mandates listed according to categories of people affected. All adults. Austria, all over 14. From February 2022, holdouts can be fined up to 3,600 euros every 3 months. Germany plans to make mandatory for all adults from February. Remember, let me. You notice something February here? I need to find the video where I gave this prophetic word. The Lord told me back in like 2017, 2018. He said that the world would change dramatically. There would be things that would happen in 2020 and 2022. I even said in that message that I expected a biological attack in 2020. Well, I just didn't know how that was going to come about, but now we know. But 2022, folks, is shaping up to be another dramatically changing year, because these countries are going to start making this vaccine mandatory, and, of course, the passport mandatory, right, to get in anything. Indonesia, all adults with fines or refusal of social assistance or government services for the unvaccinated. What is that? Micronesia, all adults. Tajikistan, all over 18. I mean, it just keeps going. Government employees and private sector workers. Canada, all federally regulated workplaces from early 2022. I mean, we have friends in Canada that's already lost their jobs over this issue. I mean, we just keep going. Costa Rica, Croatia, all public sector employees, Czech Republic, police officers, soldiers, some other professions from March. Denmark, workplaces allowed to require digital corona pass for employees. Egypt, vaccination or weekly COVID test required for public sector employees to work in government buildings. Fiji, France, I mean, it just goes on. Hungary, Italy, Latvia, Lebanon, New Zealand. Saudi Arabia. They're even talking about, of course, here in the U.S., we had a court block it the other day, a circuit court. Now we just had another circuit court overturn that, so it's probably going to go to the Supreme Court. But bottom line, they are mandating this, and you won't be able to go in these places. You're not going to be able to go into restaurants, stores, government buildings. Prepare yourself for this to get much worse. Now, hopefully in the United States, the resistance that we have to this is going to delay it here to some degree. But worldwide, do you see that we could keep going, scrolling down, Britain, Croatia, Czech Republic, France, Finland, Greece, New Zealand. I mean, it just keeps going. Kazakhstan, Costa Rica, I mean, Malaysia, Russia. This is worldwide, folks. Worldwide. You don't get this clot shot put in your arm. And you don't prove that you're up to date on the third, fourth, fifth, or however many boosters they're going to start requiring. Then you're going to be shut off. Shut off from jobs, shut off. And guess what? How much buying and selling can you do if you don't earn any money? Not a whole lot. Can somebody say it's getting real up in here? Yeah. But this is going on. Folks, we are headed toward another crisis. Here's another thing. I'm just going to tell you what's coming. We're looking at probably in 2022, 2023, we're going to see also other things that these evil people are going to do to advance this agenda. We're going to see more cyber attacks. We're going to see probably cyber attacks on our power grid, probably around the time of the 2022 election time. We may see Russia move against and take Ukraine. We may see China move against and try to take back Taiwan. 2022 is going to get real. And I'll tell you, to actually be able to implement this in the United States fully, they're going to have to create a crisis here. There's going to be some type of false flag crisis, and they're working very hard to make our currency worth nothing. They're printing so much of it, they're trying to destroy the U.S. dollar, the U.S. economy, because the whole entire goal is to switch to a complete cashless digital currency that is controlled by something in your body. Klaus Schwab said this. He's the one of the ones behind this, and he said this in 2017. We are going to merge humankind with machines. That is the fourth industrial revolution. The Great Reset is about moving us off of all the different cash currencies in the world to one that they can track everything you do, control everything you do, turn it off if you don't comply with what they want you to do. And it's funny, a lot of people think Pastor Dean is crazy until it happens. And all of this will happen. Now, will it all happen next year? I don't know how much of it they'll get done, but you will see it move forward quickly. And then over the next several years, 2023, 2024, things are going to get really real. If the dollar is not the world reserve currency anymore, the United States is in trouble. The world food supply is in trouble. We're about to see everything what Jesus talked about, famines. It's not because we couldn't grow enough food or have enough food. It's because they're sabotaging the system. Yep. And Kevin back here knows it well. It's a very fragile thing we have. The food supply and the... I mean, he was just telling me about the fertilizer and how you mess up that issue right there and there will be no food. And they're toying with everything. The fact is, again, we have very evil people. We have people with a very evil agenda. I mean, Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum leader and the one who's pushing all of this very hard with many world leaders in agreement with him, working together. I mean, his father sold weapons to the Nazis and made weapons for the Nazis. These are the kind of people we're dealing with here, okay? And as they say, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, right? But you need to understand, this world government plan of the UN evolving into a world government is going to happen. It's going to happen. And they're going to force and try to force all countries to submit to it. Now, again, there are people in our country who are traitors who will submit to it. And they're in the Democratic Party and they're in the Republican Party, and some of them will call themselves independents and libertarians, but they're traitors in our military, in our government officials, in our institutions. We have been infiltrated, folks. And when all of this stuff starts going down, those people in our midst that are traitors are going to go with the other side. You've already seen it. I mean, what we saw with General Milley betraying President Trump and telling the Chinese that we might be actually considering going to war against them. A general never goes behind his president and tells the enemy possible plans. And yet in America, I'm about to be 54 years old. I've never seen a general on that level betray his country and his president. Never seen it before. But you know, that's in 2 Timothy 3 when it talks about the dangerous times that will come. One of the things it says, there will be traitors. There'll be traitors to the Christian faith. There'll be traitors to our country. And to listen, what it's coming down to is we have traitors to freedom. See, there's always only been two systems. One is freedom, and the other is slavery. There's only two systems. And the system that they're trying to create now is to make you and I a complete, total slave. They want to mark us like cattle, follow everything we do, and if we don't measure up, we're cut out of the system or actually taken to a quarantine camp and nobody hears from you anymore. Does that not sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like what the Nazis did to the Jews and anybody that got in their way? Doesn't that sound like what the communist Russia and communist China has done to anyone who disagreed with their philosophies of communism and socialism? You know, I spoke in Madison last night. One of the people there grew up in China. She was telling me the indoctrination that she got growing up there. She said most of them have no idea what really happened, what the communist Chinese actually did to take over. But what she said everything is propaganda and they censor the truth. Oh, well, where are we here in America now? Almost all the news is absolute lies and propaganda, and if you dare tell the truth, you get censored and shut out. I know that. I've been censored. See, because what's going on here is not just in a country here or there. Now this whole communist, socialist, slavery agenda is now taking over the whole world. But here's the thing, folks. As Christians, we ought to know the Lord revealed all this to us thousands of years ago, that this would be what the last days would be like. And what we're going to find out is, again, the Lord allows things like this to happen because he's going to make people get off the fence and choose either him or Satan, the Antichrist, and the beast system. You will not be able to have one foot in that world and one foot in the kingdom of God. That's not going to work anymore. Because you will be forced to either submit to the beast system or you will resist it and live for Jesus and suffer the consequences. Many people don't want any persecution or loss. We have misunderstood Christianity to think that in America, thinking, well, if you become a Christian, everything's going to be wonderful and you're just going to prosper and everything's going to be one, you know, hunky-dory and you know, Mary Poppins. And no, sometimes to do the will of God, to be faithful to God, to walk with Jesus in reality brings persecution, even to prison, even to death. And as a Christian, when you sign up for this, that's one of the things you really should know. If you decide to follow Jesus, you are really signing your death warrant. Because you've got to die to your sins, die to your flesh, die to yourself, die to being a secular, worldly person, and be willing to lay down your life, if need be, to stay faithful and true to Jesus unto the end. Can I just go ahead and tell you, I will not submit, I will not bow to the beast or his system. Not going to do it. Now, I want to show you, we're going to go through some scriptures here. I want to show you, there is a man coming. And at some point, he's going to lead this system. But before he comes, it says the 10 kings come before the 11th king. And the 11th king, or the little horn it talks about that comes up in this vision, is the man who we call the Antichrist. The Bible calls him the man of sin, the son of perdition, calls him that wicked. So let's read this. Daniel 7. Somebody say it's good stuff. We're going to start at verse 1. I love the Bible. You remember Daniel, and let me just say this. Daniel said, some people say, well, there's no way you can understand or interpret Bible prophecy. You're right, many years ago, because Daniel said these words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. But at the time of the end, guess what he said? We would understand. We would know. Why? Because we would have everything would be out there so we could tell. But let's read this. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given into it. And behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear. I wonder what country's a bear. Raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, rise and devour or kill or destroy much flesh, many people. After this, I beheld one like unto a leopard, which had on the back of its four wings of a fowl. And the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, I won't go into this. I've gone into those four beasts, what they are. The lion, Great Britain, had the eagle's wings. That's America. The wings were in Great Britain. The wings were taken out. That was America being taken out of Great Britain. The bear is Russia. The leopard is the United Europe, France, particularly in Germany. Germany, even in old German flags, had leopards on them. And that's why their entire tank and armored car division is called the Leopard. It's the Leopard system. So what I'm getting at is the United Europe, the four heads, the four times that Europe has tried to be united, that Germany and France has tried to unite it into one. That's why Hitler called his the Third Reich. We are now witnessing the Fourth Reich in Europe. But anyway, these are those four nations. Then he says this. He says, after this, I saw the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast rise up, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured in broken pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So this final beast, he said, is different than all the others. Why is it different? Because this beast is talking about all those nations uniting to create one big beast, and it's going to be dreadful and terrible. And it's this, it's the United Nations, and it's the United, I just call it the United Nations beast. But let's keep going. He says, I considered the horns. He said it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. So there were 10 horns first, and then a little horn comes up between them. He says, before whom three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. He says, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair, the head, like pure wool. This is what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. He saw Jesus like this. He said his throne was like a fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. So this is giving you a clear thing that this is an end time context here. And then he says this, and I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I beheld, even till the beast was slain, this particular horn. And notice what it says about him. His body. Anybody say his body? Is that talking about some kind of mythical situation? No, his body. Meaning this man had a, actually that word means he had a physical human body. All right? This is one of the places. It says his body would be destroyed and given to the burning flame. And he says, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season. Now, this goes into talking about the judgment. Now, let's go over to Daniel 8. Now, the interesting thing about prophetic books in the Bible is sometimes the prophet was talking about things happening at his current time. Then sometimes he would talk about things that would be happening shortly after him, you know, not too far in the future. And then, sometimes in the same chapter, he'd be end up talking about things that happen completely at the end of the age. And so that's why prophecy has to be studied and dissected until you understand it. Daniel 8 is one of those chapters where the first part of it, he is actually talking about things that would happen in the near future after him, specifically with the ghost and the ram, the goat rather, and the ram. He's talking about Alexander the Great and his battle with Persia, and then that happened. But then he jumps to, and that's what we're going to go down to verse 21, after he talks about the goat and the ram and what would happen with Alexander the Great and Persia, he starts talking about the last days, the very last days. All right? And let's go to verse 23. That's what I meant. All right? Now, notice what he says here. And in the latter time, so we still have Greece with us. We still have Persia with us, which is Iran now. But he says, in the latter time of their kingdom. If you look up latter time, it means in the last days. And then if you have any doubts about it, it says, when the transgressors are come to the full. Everybody see that? That means when the sin has finally, all the sins of mankind has finally come to full fruition. When would that be? Before the end or at the end? At the end. So the latter times when the transgressors have come to the full, he says, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. A world leader. A king. Everybody see that? This is exactly what Daniel was talking about. There's going to come up this little horn, and he's going to have a mouth speaking great things, and he's going to hate Christianity. But he's going to talk about peace and uniting the world and global citizenship and saving the planet. He's going to talk about all these things. It says, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Well, who gives him his power? We know from Revelation 13, the dragon, Satan, gives him his power. So he says, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Who's he talking about destroying? The mighty and the holy people. Who are the mighty and the holy people? Those washed in the blood of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You understand that? The bee system and this beast are going to be focused on eradicating us from the earth. You need to understand that. Hey, Pastor Dean, I don't know if I want to be a Christian. Well, Jesus said, count the cost. Because you're gonna live for him and you may have to die for him. See, I remember making that decision when I was 19 years old. I'm like, it's all or nothing here, Lord. There's no middle ground. So this is foretelling the end time martyrdom. Actually, Revelation, the fifth seal, says there's going to be two waves of martyrdom, and we've already seen the first wave. The second one's coming in the end. Then he says this, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper at his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Again, world peace, world unity, that's going to be their mantra while he's destroying the world. Isn't it interesting? We've got that going on right now. They think they're telling us they're saving the world with the vaccine. When they're actually, most people are going to find out within 1 to 5 years whether they got the saline solution or the real thing. I had a whistleblower flight surgeon at Fort Rucker sit next to me at dinner and tell me pretty much that people that have had these vaccines and start to have heart problems, that 1 to 5 years they're dead. Apart from a miracle, she said, there's nothing we can do. This is why athletes in Europe, hundreds are dropping dead. Soccer players. Never happened before. And Germany's like, why is this happening? This has never happened before. Well, maybe we've never given experimental mRNA vaccines to people that cause spike proteins in their body to go settle in their heart and damage their heart permanently. Or for many women, go into their reproductive organs and make them sterile. Or, I don't know, go into the brain and cause inflammation, strokes. I mean, how many of you know that just this week, the CDC says, do not take the J&J shot. But a few months ago, it was safe and effective. Now, don't take it. But where were the crazy people a few months ago going, don't take it? And now the CDC agrees. How many people are going to die or be injured before they actually stop this nonsense? But they're not going to stop it. Because there's evil people behind it. Now, notice that I'm going to read verse 25 again. Through his policies, we could say policies, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. Who's the prince of princes? Jesus. So he's saying this man will stand up and he will declare war on Jesus. And it says he will stand up and even try to fight Jesus when he returns. That's why all the armies of the Antichrist of the world are going to be gathered at Jerusalem, because Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem with his armies, and there's going to be a clash between two massive armies. It's called the day or the Battle of Armageddon. And that's the culmination of all this. But see, let me tell you something. I start talking about this stuff and I see in faces like, this cannot be true. This cannot be true. Let me tell you something what I believe. Everybody knows about CERN, right? Everybody, you know, all the different ideas. CERN is trying to open a portal between here and the underworld and all this stuff. I don't believe that's it at all. even though they're all occultists and have Shiva up there and doing their weird cultic dances and rituals. No, here's what it is. CERN is the world elite looking for a weapon to fight Jesus when he comes back. They're trying to find another particle because they know they already tried the nuclear weapons, the Thor missile against the firmament, and they lost that battle. So they know nuclear weapons aren't powerful enough. So they're trying to find some other particle, antimatter or something. They're praying to find something that will fight Jesus, that will be a weapon they can use. If you want to know, I mean, their whole thing, what was it? It was X-Men Apocalypse. That's why they're trying to unite with machines. They're trying to mutate themselves, create super soldiers. You think it's all about fighting wars here? No. It's about fighting him. It's all about fighting him. They are preparing to fight Jesus Christ. They know he's coming back. They may deny it publicly, but they know it and they believe it. It says he will stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now think about this. What it's saying is he will be destroyed. He will be killed without Jesus having to put his hands on him. Now, how does this happen? Let's go over to... Y'all don't mind studying the Bible a little bit. I'm just having fun today. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Yep. I love this. Chapter 2. Now remember, we just read this. Daniel 7, Daniel 8, that he will exalt himself. He will magnify himself in his heart. Right? Here's the Apostle Paul writing in the New Testament under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying this man's going to exalt himself. Let's read it. Let's start from verse 1 here. See, I know why the Lord's having me go over this again. Because he wants everybody aware. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. The context here is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering unto him. Notice that the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, precedes our gathering to him. There's no secret rapture before the second coming of Jesus. Let's just get that clear. Which is why the Apostle Paul said here, he said that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Meaning, the people go around saying Jesus could come at any moment, that's never been true. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away, an apostasy, a departure from loyalty to Jesus, and that man of sin be revealed. Now, folks, if the Bible calls him the man of sin, why would you run around saying there's not going to be a man of sin, the Antichrist? But we got Christians saying this stuff. And I'm like, it's clear in the book. I actually had a woman, I gave a woman this week these scriptures that came on my Facebook saying, oh, it's not a real man. I gave her the scriptures and he said, you're misinterpreting the Bible. I said, how do you misinterpret? It says he will be a man and have a body and be killed and be put into hell. How does it misinterpret? This is how blind some Christians are. You can give them plain scriptures and they're still brainwashed by the false doctrine they've been taught. It's insanity. But he says here, this man of sin will be revealed. Now, he's not revealed right now. We have speculations on who he might be. There's people that think it's Prince Charles. There's people that think it's William. I happen to think the number one candidate is Prince Hassan out of Jordan, or one of his sons. But we'll see. Nobody knows for sure yet. We'll see. He'll be revealed to us one day. And what does revealed mean here? It means totally uncovered, obvious to everyone. There won't be any, for the Christian who knows the Bible, there won't be any mistaking it. We will know who he is in the days ahead because he's going to be revealed. But he's called the man of sin. Daniel said he has a body and a mouth, and he's going to be taken and put into the flames. He's the son of perdition. Son means someone born into the world. This man is here. And he says this, this is verse 4 about him. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And I talked about this last week. There will be a Jewish temple. Whether it be a tabernacle, it could be something put up in a day. But we know from the book of Revelation, it doesn't have to be here until the 3.5-year mark, till we're halfway through the last 7 years. But he will take that over. He will step in and say, I'm in charge now. I'm the one. And notice it says he will do this. And then he goes on to say, Paul says, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Because, see, they were getting freaked out because people started saying, well, you know, Jesus could come at any moment and you may not be ready. And he's like, don't you remember what I told you? This is not going to happen until there is a mass, obvious falling away, apostasy, and the man of sin be revealed. And he's saying those two things had not happened yet, so stop freaking out. That's what he's telling the Thessalonians. Stop. There will be a time to freak out. We're at freak out time now. We're there. He said, now, and then he even adds in verse 6, and now you know what is holding back these things. The second coming and our gathering together too. What's holding back these things is that he might be revealed. Somebody say he. He might be revealed in his time. So Paul was saying it's not time yet. When he wrote this in 50-something A.D. here. All right. Right? He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So we agree. A lot of people point out the verses in 1 John where it says that the spirit of Antichrist is already with us. Yes, the spirit is already here. It's an evil spirit. It's here. But there will be a man in the very end totally possessed by that spirit, totally embodied with it. Remember, anytime something went down seriously, like Satan was wanting to kill Jesus, what does it say? Satan entered into Judas, and then Judas went and betrayed him. Satan will fully possess this man. Satan himself will step into him and lead the world. And it says this. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or holds back will let until he be taken out of the way. I believe that's Michael the archangel from Daniel 12. He's kind of holding things back until the time. Satan's tried to do these things over the different centuries at different times. He's tried to take over everything. God hasn't let him. He will be allowed. Michael the archangel will step away, and then the great tribulation will start. And he says this, and then, so after Michael the archangel steps away, this is Daniel 12, 1 and 2. When he steps back, he says, then there was going to be a time of tribulation. Such never was. And then he says this, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Who? This man of sin, this son of perdition. He will be revealed, and he's called that wicked, whom the Lord shall consume or destroy with the spirit of his mouth, not with his hands. See, it's amazing, isn't it, how the Bible works together. He will be broken without hand. Jesus won't put a hand on him. The sword of the Spirit will come out of the mouth of Jesus. The brightness, the glory will come out of his mouth and slay this man and the false prophet. You'll see that in a minute. He says, and that then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying or deceiving wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why are people going to be deceived and perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So he's saying, hey, if you want to be deceived, the Lord's going to allow you to be deceived. If you won't listen to the truth, you don't love the truth of God's word, you will be deceived. And the Lord's going to allow it. And let me tell you, if the Lord steps away from you and allows you to be deceived, there is no hope. Because he's the only hope. And this is why I preach on this stuff. This is why I teach this stuff. This is why I repeat it for years. Because we are hard-headed. But now let's go to Revelation. I want to go to Revelation chapter 19. Somebody say, yeah. You say, amen or oh me. One of the two. You know, I'm too tired to get too Pentecostal today. I got home at 2 a.m. and didn't go to bed and sleep till 4 a.m. But you know what? I get excited about the preaching about the second coming of Jesus. It's important. Just because there's a lot of deception out there. But let's read. I want to read almost, let's see, we're going to read almost all of chapter 19, if y'all don't mind. This is so good. The second coming of Jesus. And let's look at what it says. He said, and after these things, and this is the after he's talking about is this, the seventh vial of wrath, mystery Babylon, I believe is Rome, is destroyed. And he says this, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Now, let me classify this, why I believe that the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, is the mystery Babylon. Number one, in Revelation 17, he talks about the colors of that being purple and scarlet. The bishops wear purple. The cardinals wear scarlet red. He talks about also, he says, that they are drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. There's no other entity on the face of the earth that's killed more true Christians in history than the Roman Catholic Church. And also it says, in present tense language, he tells them this is the city on seven hills. Rome is known as. And then he says, this is the city that reigneth over the kings of the earth. A present tense Greek verb. Students, what's a present tense Greek verb? Taking place in the present. So he was speaking about a city, and then he called it a city, not a nation, that ruled over the kings of the earth at that time. Who could that be other than Rome? And remember what happened. The Roman leaders simply shed their Roman uniforms and put on the uniforms of the Pope and the bishops and the cardinals. That's all that happened. That's why they used the same term. You know, the Roman emperor was called the pontifex, or whatever the word they use. That was a Roman title. The basilicas are Roman governmental buildings. And in fact, in Romans 18, when he says, Mystery Babylon says, I sit a queen and I am no widow, the word there in the Greek is basilica, which comes from basilica. So literally she's saying, I sit a basilica there. And these are not even all the clues, but I'm just telling you, the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm talking about the Roman Catholic people. There's a lot of Roman Catholic people that love Jesus and are saved, and they're going to heaven when they die. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the institution that's corrupt, all right? And we know it's corrupt, and we know it's full of pedophilia, and we know it's full of idolatry, and it's full of false doctrines. Any teaching about worshiping Mary, bowing to Mary, Mary's co-redeemer, all that stuff is demonic idolatry and error, all right? But there's a lot of good people. They were brought up in that, and they found Jesus not because of the Roman Catholic Church, but in spite of it. They found Jesus because they were looking for him, and they were reading their Bibles themselves, not because they were taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the current Pope has lost his mind. I mean, he don't even care now about whatever. He just says whatever he wants. The latest thing is you don't have to worry about the sins of the flesh. Well, really? Romans, Romans 8 and Galatians 5 and Ephesians 5, they have a lot to say about that. But anyway, so he has just judged the great whore, and I want to say that's verse 2. And it says he hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Well, who killed his servants in the first century? The Roman Empire, exactly. So at the end, he's avenging himself by destroying Rome. He said, again, they said, hallelujah, and her smoke arose forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And then he says, verse 7, this is how I know, too, that the rapture of the church gets there at the very end. He says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And when this is after the judgment of Mystery Babylon. So the judgment of Mystery Babylon is the final seventh vial of wrath. So the church is made ready. She's taken up the same day. While all this destruction is going on the earth, there's a little wedding that takes place, and then we all will get to return with Jesus. It says, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So right after this wedding that happens on the same day, we're caught up on the last day. God rains down his wrath on everything. All the cities of the nations are destroyed. Every mountain's moved. Every island's moved. And it says, while that's going on, we're having our little wedding on the same day. When that's finished, heaven's open. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Not coming as a sweet little baby in a manger this time. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the wrath and the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. Oh, an angel in the sun. And to all, he said, cried with a loud voice, and to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bonds, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Do you understand? This is where everything is headed. This confrontation, this war. This is why Satan is just working overtime to brainwash the masses. And he says in verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him. That is Jesus that sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceiveth them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These two men... here were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, does this sound like the beast and the false prophet are some type of symbolic allegory. No, they're killed by Jesus and taken and put in the flames of hell. Pretty clear, isn't it? And let's keep reading. So the beast was taken and put, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant, or those that were left, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. That's Jesus. Which proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. So folks, right there, it's pretty clear. Jesus is coming back. All of this is about this war. And this man is coming. And this man will unite the world. And what's interesting is you notice the spirit in the world, because they'll accept almost anything. You can have any kind of new age mumbo jumbo. You could have your create your own buffet religion. And everybody's fine with that. But if you say there's only one true God, and his name is Jesus, and he's the creator of all things, and he's the only way that our sins can be forgiven and we can be saved, oh boy, you're in trouble. Because they're fine with you if you say, hey, you know, I follow Jesus, but hey, if you follow Buddha or you follow Allah or whatever, you're fine too. Oh, they love you. The whole world will go, oh, look at that sweet Christian right there. They respect all religions. No, I don't respect all religions. I hate to say it. You can say it's arrogant. You can say it's proud. No, I know it's the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father. No man goes to heaven without him, without knowing him. Not knowing about him, knowing him. Being born again, being washed in the blood, knowing that Jesus has come into you and washed your sins away and changed your life. And that's what you have to be. And then you can't let anything pull you away from him. And that's why Jesus said, look, people, you know, there's Christians out there say, well, I believe this part of the Bible, but I don't believe that part. And yet Jesus said to Satan when he was being tempted, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word's important. See, I talk about this mark of the beast thing because it's in here. And every word's important. You say, well, Pastor Dean, I got it. I don't need that. Good. I'm happy for you. But do your neighbors, your family members, your co-workers, do they know? Say, well, Pastor Dean, I don't know if they listen to you or not. Oh, yeah, they probably don't. So that means you got to tell them. Come on. You got to tell them. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, somebody last night asked a question, because the group I was speaking to last night, even though it was a campaign meeting, this was a Christian group and Bible study group that put this meeting together. So I got to do a little preaching last night. But one of the things, one of the questions I got during the Q&A time was, what about these Christians that say, you know, that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics and, you know, that should stay separate and all this other stuff? And I said, you know, it really don't. I said, first of all, I said, that's hogwash. But here's the reason why Jesus said this. He said, go into all the world. Go ahead and put that up, Mark 16. He said, go into all the world. Somebody say all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. No way. I got it wrong. Sit in your church and preach the gospel. Sit in your chair. Sit in your pew. Oh, just behind a pulpit. Does it say any of that? It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me tell you what. The political realm is part of the world. And I have gone into that world, and I have had the opportunity to preach the gospel probably now literally to several thousand people that I would never have been able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to had I not obeyed the Lord to go into this part of the world. Some of you are called to go into the academic world. Some of you are called to go into, you know, the arts world, whatever. You may be called to but we're never to sit and just preach to the choir. And now when I told that girl, I said, you know, and she's from China. And I said, I've been able to preach the gospel to more people by going into this world, this political world, than I have in a long time. Folks, we got to go. Each of you, you got to think about, where can I go into the world? Piggly Wiggly. Bucko said Piggly Wiggly. That's our local, one of our local grocery stores. Yes, we have a grocery store here in the South called Piggly Wiggly. I've never understood. I understand the Piggly. I never understand the Wiggly, though. But go into the world. And can I say this? Some people say, well, the gospel is just simply Jesus died for your sins, rose from the dead, believe that. No. Y'all want my definition of the gospel? Can I give you my definition? Is it all right? My gospel, I say we're preaching the gospel, is everything Jesus said, did, taught, and the apostles said, did, taught in the New Testament. Because you don't know what a person may need. When you go out there, sometimes you got to talk about the truth about creation. Because somebody's believed the lies. Sometimes you got to talk about what the Bible says about end time prophecy and prove to them that the Bible is inspired by God, not just written by men, because there's supernatural things in this book. Sometimes you got to figure out what tool from the scriptures you need to use to reach different types of people. But you always, whatever tool you use, whatever subject, end time prophecy, creation, whatever tool you use to get the conversation going, you're always going to bring it back to, you must know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must confess him with your mouth. You must believe it with your heart. And you must repent and become a disciple. That's the end result of it all. A lot of people just go out there, Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's not preaching the gospel. They all believe Jesus loves them. They need to know what Jesus expects them to do. That's a big difference, isn't it? You know, my parents loved me, but, you know, there were some things that they expected me to do. I remember my dad told me, don't bring home any C's on your report card. And he wasn't joking. So he loved me, but he had some things he expected of me. God loves us, but there's things he expects us to do, the ways he expects us to live, and we have to choose, are we going to obey him, submit to him, let him truly be Lord of our lives? Because if he's Lord, then we do what he says. But if he's just a religion or another idol we put on the shelf, then we say, oh, Jesus loves me, but then we live how we want to live. No. Jesus said you must take up your cross and follow him. And I noticed one day the Lord spoke to me real clear, and he said, your cross. Guess what? Each of us has a different cross we have to bear. I remember at the time when he said that to me, I was, you know, the Lord had told me, this was like in 2008, to go, and I'd helped start a church in Washington, D.C. in 2003. And they wanted me to come back and pastor and lead that church. But I didn't want to leave, you know, my girls, my two older daughters. And I was in a real, you know, I didn't want to be 800 miles from them. And so I was really torn, you know, but I knew the Lord was wanting me to go. And at that time, I didn't know how long I'd be there, But I still didn't want to go. I didn't want to do it. And I remember wrestling with this, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, even your children cannot be an idol. He said, son, this is your cross. You're going to take up your cross and follow me? You're going to do what you want to do? And I said, Lord, okay. I remember when he sent me to Africa, it was one of the most painful and inconvenient times of my life. Go to Nigeria. I don't want to go to Nigeria. Go to Nigeria and preach the gospel. And God moved in power. And I was in such turmoil about things going on in my life, I would go preach the gospel, go teach seminary, the seminary classes in the mornings, and go preach in two or three churches during the day and in the evening. I mean, I preached for a month, I had no more voice that first time. And but I go back to my hotel room sometimes and just cry my eyes out because I was so depressed and going through such a battle in my personal life. You want to talk about God's not worried about your inconvenience. I'll tell you this. I look back on all that, and every time I obeyed him, powerful things happened. Even when I didn't feel like it. You understand? Many times you're not going to feel like doing what God wants you to do. Do you think that on a Saturday, like yesterday, I wanted to travel 4 hours, speak to a group, leave Madison at after 10 o'clock, get home at 2 o'clock, not go to sleep till 4 o'clock, and get up and come do church this morning? Do you think anything about this 54-year-old body that wanted to get up this morning or come here? No, but you do the will of God no matter how you feel, no matter what persecution you might face, no matter what ridicule, reproach, or loss you might suffer. Do what he says, and what I found out, because I have done what he told me to do over the years, he has blessed me beyond words. There are things I can't even say. He restored everything that I lost, that I went through, that I lost in that season. God restored and made it all better. Now, it took a few years, but I'm just telling you, there's nothing better than doing the will of God. He loves to see his children suck it up, tough it out, do what he says, live how he wants you to live, believe his word, act upon it, and your life is transformed. Christianity ceases to be boring. Tell you the truth, right? And there's nothing about my life right now that's boring. And I just wonder, after this adventure, what's next? The Lord always has an adventure for you. And it's not always easy or feel good, but it's worth the journey. It's worth the trip. You take up your cross and you follow him. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You show them, hey, I'm not a perfect person, but I'm going to follow Jesus. And people will get saved. People will follow. People will come to know him. And when you tell them what's in here, when you share the Bible with them, the truth, they will be warned and they will be ready to face what's coming. Some people, you know, I think about my sister. I've told this story. I believe the vaccine killed my sister, 46 years old. Massive stroke, heart attack. She's 46. She was the baby. But I thought about it. I said, you know, I'm pretty sure that when my sister got up that morning, that it was not in her mind that that would be the last morning she'd get up alive. I know I never thought it would happen, that I'd see my sister die at 46 years old. Folks, are you ready? Are you really ready? The end of your life or the end of this age? You better be ready for either one. And that means you better be close to Jesus. There's no room for lukewarm Christians. Y'all know that, right? Jesus said the lukewarm Christians would be spit out of his mouth. That's somebody trying to have, you know, their foot in two worlds. Not going to work. You must choose. And that's what this is all about. This is why we have church. To make sure you examine yourself and make sure you're in the faith. And you make sure you're choosing. And look, we're all going to get hit with fear, temptation, difficulties. We're going to have people, especially in the days ahead, we're going to have people dying around us. And people tend to get offended with God and get angry when bad things happen. You know, I'm not angry at God at all if my sister died. I know what did it. I believe, you know, the Lord showed me that she was ready to die. I know my mom, I was with her. I was with her the day before she died, or like a few days before she died. And the Lord told me right there, he said, this will be the last time you talk to your mom until heaven. I wasn't angry about that either. I miss her. It was painful the day she died. They called me. But what I had comfort in was knowing that I had led her to Jesus and she was ready. And when it comes down to your last day or people around you, all that's going to matter is, are you really ready? Are you really close to Jesus? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Have you truly repented? Have you taken up your cross and we're in the process of following him? It doesn't mean you will be sinless or perfect in every way, but where's your heart? Your heart, where your heart is that day? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And if you do, if you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then the things that are important to him will be important to you. How many of you know when you're in love? I know ladies that hate football, but when they're in love, they'll go to every football game with that fiancé, won't they? And then marriage, it's over, right? There's no more football game. Isn't it amazing what we do when we're in love? Right? Do we love Jesus, though? Isn't it amazing what you'll do for him and with him if you're truly in love with him? You won't be complaining about going to church or going to prayer meeting or talking to your friend about Jesus or losing your job because you wouldn't take the Antichrist clot shot. You'll rejoice and go, you know what? I'm following him. I'm following him. Say, well, Pastor Dean, but I've failed. Here's a beautiful thing. If you failed, confess your sins, ask his forgiveness, and turn away from him. And he can work miracles in your life. That's a beautiful thing. You want to talk about God loving you is the fact that you can mess it up royally. I mean, roll a hand grenade in, to pull the pin and roll the hand grenade into your life, just blow it up. And you can say, God, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Please help me. Wash this sin away. I've sinned against you. Forgive me and help me. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want this sexual sin in my life or this drunkenness in my life or drugs in my life. I don't want this anymore. I want you. I want you to change me. And you say, Lord, I repent. I'm turning away from it. I'm going to walk with you. I need your help. Man, let me tell you what he's going to do. He's going to help you. He's going to forgive you. He's going to give you the strength to do it. This is what I know. I've been knocked down many a time in my life. I know one thing, if you won't give up on him, he won't give up on you. I refused, even in my darkest hours, to give up on Jesus and walk away, run away, back to the world. Because you know what? Nobody taught me out of it because I know him too well. Nobody can come along and go, oh, he's not real. I'm like, he's more real than you are. To me, he is. Jesus is coming. Not at any moment, not in some secret mystery rapture to get you out of all your troubles. No, that's not the way he's coming. These events over the next few years are going to be intense. They're going to increase. Pestilence, famine, earthquakes, the sea and the waves roaring. Signs in the heavens. Deceivers and false prophets rising up everywhere. Tyrants taking away every freedom they possibly can. You better get with Jesus on this one. You're not saved because grandma and grandpa were saved. Mom and dad's not getting you into heaven. Pastor Dean can't even get you in there. Nobody can. It's on you. Seek him, know him, and know for you got to know for yourself that you are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, truly a disciple. You have to know that to the point no one can talk you out of it ever. Because, see, there's going to be great signs. There are going to be great satanic, demonic signs in the heavens. The aliens are coming. The world's going to believe that they're aliens. And they're not. They're fallen angels and demons. And they're going to masquerade as aliens. And many people are going to go, oh, I knew we weren't alone. Take me to the mothership. Y'all think it's funny? It's coming. It's coming. In fact, I think I'm getting ready to do an updated version of the alien deception, because I believe that this is going to be one of the final parts of the great end time delusion. God is going to allow them, like he did in the days of Noah, he's going to allow them to manifest themselves and deceive mankind who is not listening to this book and listening to the Holy Spirit within them. You say, Pastor Dean, you're crazy. No, you'll remember this when it happens. When they start showing, the world leaders start walking out with them and saying, hey, they came here from Andromeda or something like that. And you're going to go, ooh, Pastor Dean told me they were coming with this. Yeah. But we have people in our own family that are going to go out and go, oh, look at here. And what are they going to be teaching these fallen angels and demons who pretending to be aliens? What are they going to be teaching us? Oh, Christianity. In fact, they're already doing it. They're telling their people, oh, Christianity was just something we gave y'all to help you be moral so you wouldn't destroy yourselves. But here's the real truth. This is what's coming. Oh, in the Vatican. Oh, what's his name? Father Giuseppe. I can't remember now. He's a professor at Vatican University. He said, the days were coming that we're going to have to rethink the gospel when the aliens show up. Jesuit Cancel Magnu, or whatever his name is, the Jesuit astronomer, says, the days are coming that we will look to the aliens as the saviors of mankind. These are Roman Catholic leaders. The Pope said, yeah, if aliens show up, he'll baptize them. But these people believe. Look, I'll say this, too. I have it. I have it in my phone. I showed it to somebody the other day, several years ago. Canadian Defense Minister Paul Hellyer. He was a defense minister for the government, Canadian government, for many years. He is an avid believer and pusher of the alien deception. He tells me on my email, I'm on a group email with him, but there's just a couple of us, because people wanted me to hear it from him. He believes there's four species of aliens and that the governments of the world have already been in contact with them, already talking with them. And he says this. This man was the defense minister of Canada. And I have it, having a conversation. I've had a conversation with him through email on my phone. I still have it. I know what these people believe. Dr. Stephen Greer, it's coming. The deceptions are going to be unreal. And they've programmed you for decades. We're not alone. Star Wars, War of the Worlds. Oh, goodness, what was it? Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right? Independence Day, right? Oh, yeah, that Canadian defense minister, Paul Hellyer, says that there's good ones and bad ones, and there's going to be a war with them and all this stuff. I kid you not. This stuff is going down. And, I don't know if this video is true or not, but there's a video circulating of a former CIA whistleblower saying that the aliens are showing up in 2024. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. And I hope everybody knows, when I say aliens, I don't mean beings from another planet. Fallen angels, their offspring, the Nephilim, and demon spirits. It's going to be their final huge deception to deceive the world. They've been setting you up for it for decades, and they're going to do it. World leaders are going to walk out with them. Oh, yes, we've known about them. We've been in contact with them for years. Here's what we're going to do. And they're going, these aliens are going to say, this is our man we've chosen. They're going to point him out. Mark, now, how do we know this? Arthur C. Clarke, everybody read the book or seen the TV show called Childhood's End? Yeah, the overlords show up. And the aliens are here, and we're not alone, right? But they hide the way they look from the people, right? But they pick a man to represent them on the earth. It's all there. And then they begin to turn the children into psychics and mediums. And then they finally reveal, the overlord leader walks out with two children. And guess what he looks like? The most evil, ugly, red horn looking devil you've ever seen. And they just reveal exactly who they are. And then they kill all the parents and take all the children. What a story. Arthur C. Clarke. See, they always tell you what they're going to do before they do it. So, yeah, check out Childhood's End. Let's stand this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. What's that Lindell song? No. What's the one? The Kingdoms of This World one. We need it. You're throwing the last word. We need to do a happy song on the way out this morning. I'd say, I got to give you the scary verses and tell you what's really going to happen, or I'm going to be held accountable. So, but the good news is this. This life is nothing but a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. But the next one, with Jesus or without him, is forever. And eternity is too long to be wrong. So here we go. Which one do you think? If you're here 80 years, maybe, and yet there's another life that's going to be forever, which one should you be really concentrating on? You get what I'm saying? We put way too much focus on what's here instead of what's going to be. And what's beautiful is, folks, we get everything when Jesus comes. He says, the meek will inherit the earth. I mean, we get heaven, we get the earth that's going to be fixed by Jesus and made new. We're going to get the new Jerusalem. We get it all. He said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We get it all. Going to have a country home here on earth. Going to have a city home in New Jerusalem. And going to have a church home up in heaven where we'll go worship in the third heaven. It's all ours. We get it all. The streets are made of gold. We won't be worrying about money. Or, you know, it's going to be great. Prepare for that day. You say, Pastor Dean, we should, you're going to be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. You know what? If you think that for a second, you've lost your mind. I know. We're going to work to do the best we can here while we're here. But we need to be prepared to go there. Amen. So let's do this song and we'll be dismissed.
We declare that your throne will last forever, Lord. We declare that your throne will last forever, Lord. We lift you up, Jesus. Hear the mighty thunder, an army without number. Dancing on the kingdoms of this world. See the banner waving. Hear the name they're praising. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So prepare the way for the Ancient of Days on a white horse. As it starts to ride, hear the people cry. Your throne will last forever, throughout the endless age. Every knee bows down, every tongue say loud. Your throne will last, last forever. Yes, it will. See his eyes of fire. Is now a lion. He's bringing justice in his nail-scarred hand. And you know he's bringing down high places. The humble sing his praises. The king has returned to rule the land. Hey! So prepare the way.
So prepare the way.
Every generation until all creation comes to see Jesus, you are King.
Your throne will last forever, Jesus. Forever, King of kings and Lord of lords. We worship you today. We give you praise. Lord, we will follow you to the end. We will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we will return with you. And Lord, we are thankful that you are going to take back control of this earth and rid it of sin and evil and wickedness. You're going to fix the problem. And we thank you for that, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. Amen. All right. Give him glory. Y'all know the drill around here for those of you here. Go get what you want to eat and come back. We'll eat downstairs together. If you can stay, please stay. We always love for everybody to stay if they can. Some can't. But anyway, y'all be good. Hug some necks in this place. We'll say bye to those watching us out there.